keep this frequency clear.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking. Well,
tune in to Queering the Air.
Report on trans and intersex issues with accuracy, dignity, and respect.
Podcast edition, and therefore, sorry, no music.
Change the narrative rather than combat the narrative.
I know who I am. Took me 20 years to get here. I'm not going to let some idiot senator destroy that.
3CR Community Radio.
Our stories are best told when we are the ones telling them. It helps combat the perpetuation of stereotypes, misinformation, and lies.
I discovered in the face of overwhelming prejudice and persecution an incredible strength through being fiercely fabulous.
Welcome to Queering the Air, Sundays from 3 to 4 on 3CR. 3CR is proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Welcome one and welcome all. It is Queering the Air, on the air, with your host, Madison Moffat. My pronouns are she and her, and we'll do the round robin of introductions because we have two special guests with us today as well. So we'll start with my glorious co-presenter.
Hey, it's Atlas on your airways. I use he, she, and they pronouns. Thank you very much.
Lovely. And next on the row?
My name is Alex, and I'm happy with any pronouns.
Lovely. Thank you. And?
I'm Sarah Lemberg. I'm a filmmaker. And yeah, similar. I really don't relate to any of the pronouns, so you pick and mix.
Excellent. Let's do that. Picking and mixing. So, before we start, as is our wont, we want to promote a very important aspect of what keeps shows like Queering the Air and shows on 3CR in general on the air.
3CR's annual Radiothon fundraiser is almost here.
This June we'll be asking for your donations to support 3CR.
Your donation during Radiothon keeps the station radical and enables us to give voice to our community for another year.
All donations over $2 are tax deductible.
3CR Radiothon is coming. Show your support by donating this June.
3CR, your station, your voice.
And, you know, I think that we could do a little survey around the table. Hands up those who would prefer to, instead of giving their money to 3CR, give it to the Australian Taxation Office. I'm not seeing any hands. And indeed, when you donate to 3CR, that means that you are making sure that the Australian Taxation Office coffers are a little less enriched and 3CR remains on the air. So, please do support, show your solidarity, and donate throughout June. Well, now we start with our favourite segment. What is our favourite segment, everyone? It is...
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow.
Meow 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 meow.
Yes, it's meow 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 meow. Where we just go all meow 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 about what's going on around the traps.
The traps?
Around the traps. There we go.
Okay.
Around what's going on around the general neighbourhood, where it is that we hang and slang. Is that a thing?
No, I don't think so, Madison.
It is now.
Yeah. It is now. Now, you have something to offer in terms of what's going on and the meow, 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 meow thing?
I have nothing to offer. No, I'm kidding. I do. So next weekend, we do have the Gay Staff Markets coming up on Sunday.
Yes.
They will be at the Victorian Pride Centre in St Kilda from, I believe, 11 a.m. until about 3 or 4 p.m.
Lovely.
Yes.
What could one expect?
One could expect lots of stalls with all kinds of different things. I've seen everything from artists doing print work and...
Yep. I've seen leather gear.
I've seen leather gear there. I've seen jewellery.
I've seen plants.
Plants.
I've seen pottery.
Pottery.
Yeah, pottery.
Absolutely. Yep. What else? Clothes.
There's clothing.
Been clothing, stickers, badges.
Yes.
All of the things that your little queer heart could possibly desire.
I've seen zines.
Zines, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. All sorts of queer stuff and gay stuff.
Exactly. And myself. I will be there.
The gayest of all.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. yeah, so that's Gay Stuff next Sunday at the Victorian Pride Centre from 11 a.m.
Cool. And Transgender Victoria at their affirmation station are having on Monday the 2nd of June from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. a trans life drawing session with Elias Youssef. So there you go.
Mm. Affirmation Station also has once a week art class, which is completely free to attend. So Tuesday nights, 5 p.m. Mm. I tend to go to that.
Yeah, so there's quite a few art things, yeah.
Great events. And Fruity Loops is on tonight at Footscray Little Foot. That's a really cool queer
event.
The
Little Foot Bar.
Yeah, so that's twice a month and happens to be this Sunday, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah. I attend Fruity Loops as well usually, so yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Plaxpark Cultural Centre has got lots of different queer-friendly events. Yeah. That's a cool space.
Very good. And... when it comes to this art club thing, the trans life drawing thing, specifically this service is for transgender, gender diverse and non-binary people, and it's the session strictly for 18 plus. So if you don't fit that, go away, we don't want you!
Not harsh at all.
Not harsh at all. Yeah, so Elias Youssef, their pronouns are they and he, basically run this two-hour life drawing class and... Suitable for beginners, tutored session, short presentation, followed by guided instruction. So I think that's pretty chill.
Yeah, we stand a guided instruction.
Yes, yes, but that's enough of your personal life. Waka, waka, waka. So, yeah, there's a $15 refundable deposit for the session, but as long as you either attend the session or you cancel more than 2 days in advance, that gets refunded.
Yeah, and it's very easy. I've been to a couple of events at the centre and, yeah, you just automatically get your money back in a few days and you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, cool.
Super easy.
Cool. And what else do we have?
Well, my other thing was Fruity Loops, which has already been shouted out.
There we go. So. I jumped in, sorry.
No, you're all good.
Yeah, yeah, Fruity Loops on Sunday. So what was the time again?
It is from 6 p.m.
Yep. Yeah. So that's basically just a social gathering. Sometimes so you've got some activities like trivia, but other times it's just chatting and just hanging. And yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I've been going for about 3 or 4 times now.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. Yeah, it's a really good time. I think I've been going for a good 6 to 8 months now.
Nice.
So, yeah.
They have crafty things there too, don't they?
Yeah, you can also paint your nails or paint someone else's nails if you wish. And. Oh. Mm. All sorts. Games, board games.
Yeah.
I know that Nailed by C attends sometimes, who does the press on nails, that, you know, if you ask very nicely, they will generally make you a pair of press ons.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Who knows about Q-Lit?
I got a ticket.
You got a ticket.
I'm going.
Beautiful.
It's a writing event mainly, is it? Spoken word, that kind of thing. Q-Lit. I don't know much about it, but I tend to be one of those people that I see something interesting, I book it immediately because, you know, otherwise you miss out.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I think Q-Lit generally is as a grouping, they sort of run a few events, you know. I remember a couple of years back I went to Geelong and they just had, you know, a series of workshops. So, yeah, they seem to be out and about, you know, promoting queer literature and getting people enthused to get out there and write and get themselves published.
Speaking of, while we've got the platform and we're on air,
yes,
I'd just love to give a shout out to Hares and Hyenas, who,
yes,
from what I understand, have been really struggling to keep themselves afloat.
Yeah.
So I'd really like to encourage all our queer listeners, if you're into queer literature, go get some books from Hares and Hyenas.
Yeah.
Mm. Let's keep them going.
Absolutely agree. And my understanding, actually, is that Hares and Hyenas are also going to be involved with this QLit Festival Day of Books.
Awesome.
So that's good. And when's it being held? It is being held, scroll up, the 21st of June, Saturday the 21st of June, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Yes. It's going to be at 81 Fitzroy Street, St Kilda. And it's basically, they say, it's the best in queer literature. I think you can trust them.
I think so.
I think you can trust them if they say that. And they also say it's going to be a one-stop shop for uncovering the best and most locally written works from LGBTIQA plus communities. So I think that's important too, to localise it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Anyone been to one of their events?
Not yet.
Not yet. It's going to be first for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, first for you. Yeah, it was really worthwhile turning up to their workshops. They had a, you know, good informed mix of people. Yeah, and I think they're trying their best to, you know, to get people's work out, not just within the queer community, but beyond, you know, out into sort of more mainstream markets, which I think is important.
Yeah, I haven't been to any of those events, but I did go to a queer smut writing workshop held by Orlando Silva. That was a little bit out of town. That was in Wollongong.
Oh, yeah.
And that was fabulous.
Orlando Silva?
Yes. That's the author who heads up Incision Press.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's another source for writing workshops.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And thoroughly recommended by our guest,
Alex. Yes.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. What's else? Archer Studio, Archer Magazine. They're going to be having a launch soon. And yes, basically, it's an art issue. So what does that mean? Well, they're basically they're going to be having performances, dancing, art installations, merriment, apparently.
Mm.
Cheap drinks. I think they should have cheap drinks before merriment, because isn't that the way it goes?
Oh, I just thought that cheap drinks was merriment. They're the same thing. You just said the same thing twice.
That's it. Speeches and surprises. I'm not sure what the surprises are.
You'll be surprised.
You will be surprised. Thank you. Thank you for the explanation. Saturday the 14th of June at 7:30 till late at LCI Melbourne on 150 Oxford Street, Collingwood. Do you know anyone know what LCI Melbourne is?
No.
Anyway, it's a place, and it's at 150 Oxford Street, Collingwood. And that's where Archer Magazine will be holding their new magazine launch. They seem to do one of these launches every time they have a, you know, an edition.
Well, yeah, wouldn't you?
Maybe the surprise is that there's a magazine as well.
Ooh, there's an issue. What an issue. Idea.
Surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yay. are we moving on to next one? There's at Loop Roof, there's Filmonic, so that's an open mic for short films. So anyone can bring in short film, about 5 minutes or less. It happens once a month, and the next one is this coming Wednesday at 8 p.m. Super friendly for all sorts of folks. And just bring a film, doesn't cost anything to submit. Yeah.
And it's a regular thing.
It's, yeah, once a month.
That's fantastic. I think we'll have to clue into that and make sure we keep promoting that. That sounds like a great event also.
On that subject, Gay 24 at Flippies, I think this coming Wednesday.
It's actually the same time, yeah.
Oh, no.
That's very true.
That's right.
I have to pick. I have to go to Filmonic because it's amazing. But
it's tough being gay.
I know.
So much to do. So expand on that. Where they are.
So Flippies is in Sydney Road.
Yep.
It's a bar there, and Gay 24. They have screenings there. I think it's every last Wednesday of the month. It's
cool.
Lovely.
Okay.
But that they choose great films.
We'll have to look into that as well and make that part of what we regularly plug.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that has been
meow, 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 meow.
Meow.
Meow, 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 meow,
Meow.
Madison, do you think the audience get involved in this?
I hope so.
Ritual? I did too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've had guests before ask, do I have to do that? And we said, yes, absolutely.
Yes, you must join in. You must do the meow, 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 meow.
Yeah, shout out to James, who was hesitant to meow. Hey,
so that was meow, 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 and we shall now play a track. It's a lovely track. It's Sometimes. What? That's what I just call it. I just call it Sometimes. But what is the full name of the track?
That's the name of the album, Madison. Sometimes I Sit and Think and Sometimes I Just Sit by Courtney Barnett.
This is the name of the song.
The name of the song is Nobody Really Cares If You Don't Go to the Party.
That's right. And we shall play it in 1, 2, 3. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording. Want to go out, but I want to stay on.
Isn't that a really big mood?
Yeah. And so that was Courtney Barnett. That's a oldie but a goodie.
Indeed.
Oldie but a goodie. All right. Our first interrogation for the day. We have Sarah.
I love your pronunciation of that. Can you just say it again?
Sarah.
So good. Too many A's in there for sure.
What about the surname? Is it Lambert?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Sarah Lambert.
Sure. With a G, though, not a T.
Oh, not a T. What did I say? Okay. Sarah Lamberg.
Amazing. You can just do this talk for me.
Okay.
Shall I be you and you be me?
We could do that.
Okay. So tell me about your film festival.
No idea.
Oh, excellent.
It's not working.
Next question. What was your favorite film of the ones that you made?
None. I hated them all.
You hate all of them. Okay. Why should people come and see them?
They really shouldn't.
Oh, all right, interview done. Shall we move on to the next person?
Now we'll go on to Alex. Not really working, is it? I think we'll do it the other way around. So you're going to be running a bit of a film festival, Sarah.
Yes, I am, because I want people to be able to see these films that are Melbourne made. And it will be in Brunswick soon. So
beautiful. So Melbourne made?
Yeah. Well, one of them I shot in 7 different countries, so I guess that's not only Melbourne. And another one in Finland and Australia. But otherwise, all the pre-production, post-production, most of their parts of the production are here in Melbourne. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So are they ultimately queer films?
Well, ultimately I am queer, so I guess anything I make is queer.
Are you queer?
As there is, oh, no. Well, I guess
I didn't realise.
I should leave now, shouldn't
yeah,
I?
No. How uncomfortable.
There's definitely like queer themes in many of them, and there's transgender themes in Coma, for example. My main character that you never see, you also never find out their gender.
Yeah.
And it's up to you as an audience member to figure out based on other actors around them what gender they might be.
Yeah, cool.
Do they have a gender? The Lies We Tell Ourselves has got lots of different queer themes. And I think as a queer filmmaker, you don't only have to make queer films, though. I think
Absolutely.
You just make films. And because of who you are, and I'm a writer, director, producer.
Yes.
So like every
Triple
part of
threat.
The journey becomes queer because I am that.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have to limit ourselves or put ourselves in a box. It's a bit like how I feel about my gender. It's sort of all over the place and I don't really relate to any of it. So why should my films be very one-dimensional?
No, that's right. Exactly. So, yes. So let's talk about the structure. So you have a series of nights where you're playing films.
Yeah, so the whole thing is called Winter Warmers Film Festival.
Lovely.
So you can jump on and find that on Humanitix.
Winter Warmers.
Yeah, so Winter Warmers Film Festival because we also provide some mulled wine with your tickets. So yeah, the cinema owner, a lovely Indigenous Jack White, is also a chef. So I really look forward to this mulled wine.
That sounds great.
I don't even drink alcohol, so I hope there's definitely going to be a non-alcoholic version too. But yes, so I've made 4 feature films.
Yes.
Innuendo, The Lies We Tell Ourselves, Westmark Effect, and Coma.
Okay.
And they will be, initially I had four consecutive Sunday nights in June.
Right.
But actually two of them have already sold out. So then I've added an encore. So currently you still can go and book all of the films. So there will be three Sunday nights and one Saturday night in June. But yeah, if you just Google Winter Warmers Film Festival, it all comes up. And you can even watch the trailers so you can see which one you want to commit to.
Yeah, lovely. So just briefly outline all four. What, in terms of, you know, what would be your synopsis? If I was a Hollywood producer and I said, hey, I like your stuff, but I want you to pitch to me right now, and you pitch those four films, go
elevator
for it,
pitch.
Starting
okay.
Now.
Innuendo is a psychological thriller shot in Finland and Australia, and it's a story of two twin sisters, and when you've got twin sisters, obviously one of them has to be bad.
Boom, boom, boom. Of course.
That one's, shot in Melbourne and Finland. And, yeah, it's quite exciting. It's quite, like, dark thematically, very twisted. But there's also lots of dark humour. I think as I grew up in Finland, I grew up in darkness. So, like, everything I make is sort of darkly humoric. Humoric? That's not a word.
Humorous?
That's a word. I'll go with that.
Darkly humorous.
Done.
I like humoric, though. It rhymes with limerick.
It is, yes. A darkly humorous limerick, yes.
Moving on to Westmark Effect, my second feature film.
Please.
So this film I wrote based on an article that I saw, and it tells the story of a mother who falls in love with her biological son.
Oh.
And this is a real phenomena called a genetic sexual attraction, and it happens. One of the American adoption agencies reported that in 50% of reunions, people have feelings of attraction. So when it's every second time, that's not a small number.
Not at all.
When I saw that, I realized I need to make this film because I've never heard of it. People can't talk about it because it's very illegal everywhere in the world, but these couples exist. So that's what my second film is about.
That's very challenging. Yeah,
and
that's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Third film called The Lies We Tell Ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one I shot in seven different countries when I was going to different film festivals. So I was screening my first feature film, Innuendo. And despite of being here so extroverted, actually I'm a bit of an introvert. And it helps me to have a purpose when I'm somewhere. So I thought, I'm going to be going to these festivals anyway. Why don't I make my next film whilst I'm there? So also just for environmental reasons, make a little bit something more of that trip.
Yeah.
So yeah, shot The Lies We Tell Ourselves, and it became a comedy about making films.
Uh-huh.
Because I was in that environment already and had access to actors, filmmakers. Yeah, it's a really fun kind of, probably for anyone in the arts and anyone who's gender diverse or women in the arts will be able to relate to this film because it's about that struggle of fitting in and in a film industry that can be quite sort of one layered sometimes and there's a lot of males in the film industry, and it can be difficult for gender diverse or women to sort of get anywhere.
Yes.
So yeah, but it's definitely a comedy. Like, it's about challenging themes, but yeah, it's a laughing film. And then Coma. So
that sounds like a blast. That sounds hilarious.
It actually is, again, darkly humoric. I'm saying that just for you.
Darkly humoric. You've started something. How dare you
I'm
start?
I'm inventing a language.
Yeah.
How dare you start something on our show?
Nice.
You fiend.
So Coma is where we never see the main character. So the main character is in a coma.
Yeah.
And the story gets told by the people that come and visit them.
Yes.
So it happens on in the hospital. Their lovers, their partners, their family members, their friends, their colleagues all come in with different kind of revelation stories that they tell about the person's life and what their relationship was with this person. And it's kind of like a mystery of what happened.
Yes.
How did they end up in this situation and what happens from here?
Yeah, lovely. So there does seem to be, there's points of difference across all of those three. And I think that there is a theme of difference within all of those three. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I think I can't escape it. And I think that's one of the things that just comes from being queer filmmaker. You're kind of drawn to, I know myself, I'm drawn to less mainstream ideas and subjects. And just, I guess as an independent filmmaker, I've got a freedom to make a film that I want to make. And I don't have to fit the formulaic film idea that's out there everywhere else. So,
yeah,
that's what I'm trying to exercise.
Yeah, so I think that it's absolutely valid and really critical when you say that, you know, I am queer, that does not make every film I make queer. But you are bringing yourself to your art. And so you must almost inevitably bring queerness to that art in some way or another. And perhaps it's just a question of how overt that is.
Absolutely. And like, I like subtlety anyway in everything that I do. And I think, you know, it's in the layers and it's in the subject, the subtext. And
yes.
And I strongly believe that an audience will see a different film to what I made.
Yes.
Like, their experience will be their experience, and it's not up to me to judge whether they thought the film was queer or not.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Any views, any questions, any queries for
Absolutely.
Our guest?
Absolutely.
Let's grill. Let's
I noticed that you mentioned partners for Como. Plural. Is this polyamorous representation in your film?
You're just going to have to come and watch the film if you want to find out.
I love that. Maybe I will have to go see the film.
Nice question, though. Nice question.
I do love the idea of the central character not really existing outside of other people's experience of them.
Yeah.
And I love the way you described that. And it's similar to how I imagine things are panning out at funerals as well. And when you hear people talk about someone who's died, and then you uncover so much more.
Yeah, someone who saw Coma, and I know they've got experience of losing a parent, said that it was the best film of grief that they've ever seen.
Mm.
So whilst it is, again, darkly comedic, it's definitely goes quite deep into themes of grief. And I saw my mum die in front of me over almost 2 decades. And so I guess that was like a big inspiration for this film.
Mm. Do you think it helped you to process that grief? Was that still sitting inside you and you were able to express it as part of the film?
Yeah, I think it was partly catharsis for sure. Yeah, I think all my work is... Mum was the person who brought me to acting and art and filmmaking, and so I think in some ways I always carry that through all this work, just that introduction to the art that she made.
That's really beautiful.
Thanks.
Lovely. What would you recommend if somebody wishes to follow in your footsteps a little, you know, become a filmmaker? It is very tough out there, so I think any advice based on some lived experience is always valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't do it.
No, it's a sickness.
No, definitely do it. Do it if you must, and you will find ways to do it if you must.
Yes.
I think networking is one of the essential things. So go to every event that you can find, particularly if there are events where filmmakers are attending, so that you can ask them questions and make friends or make connections within filmmaking community. So going to things like Filmonic that I mentioned earlier, where you can meet other people that make films.
Yes.
That's a really good thing. And just slowly start making anything, no matter how small it is, like make a 1 minute film, make a 5 minute film, just start making longer and longer content. And so networking, watching films, going to local events, those are my biggest. And if you can go to a film school, I don't think there's always this kind of almost like an argument, like whether you should go to an art school or not. I think it's a good, if you can, I think it's a good idea, because again, it's somewhere where you can meet other people that are interested in the same thing that you are, and you have resources, you've got access to lots of film equipment, for example.
I'm finding that I've noticed that some of the schools out there are being more flexible in their delivery of their courses. I mean, I know that 10, 20 years ago, advising someone to do an art course, that would be essentially asking them to give away any source of income they currently have and dive into what would be a 60 to 80 hour a week affair. But particularly in specific areas like filmmaking, there seems to be accessible courses now.
Yeah, I think you can do sort of part-time and work on the side as well.
Mm. How inclusive are you finding the film community at the moment?
Well, I think I'm someone who just dives in and sort of goes to places uninvited.
Yes, I think this crashing might be a party. Recipe.
Someone calls me a friendly pest. So
yes.
Yeah, and it is a lot of that. And like I said earlier, I'm by nature I'm an introvert, so I have to kind of like push myself to go into these things.
Right.
But it's the only way for me to be able to get work made or get work seen. Like I have to be an extrovert in that. Mm. So yeah, a lot of it is scary and a lot of it is daunting, but you just have to do it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. If you want to do it. Yeah.
Just do it.
Mm.
And kick down the doors yourself if need be.
Yeah. And yeah, definitely go to film festivals such as Winter Warmers Film Festival. And yeah, I will be at all the screenings, so I'm happy to answer any questions you've got and yeah, connect you with other people as well.
Fantastic. So yeah, just give that little plug as in what, where and when.
Yes, so Winter Warmers Film Festival starts on the 1st of June, but you can't come on the 1st of June because it's already sold out.
Of course it is. It's a wonderful idea.
So, but yeah, there is still 4 sessions available. The first one is on the 8th of June. There's also a session on the 15th of June, 28th of June and 29th of June. So that's 4 different feature films that I've directed. And it's all going to be at the Henkel Street Cinema in Brunswick. Little word of warning, though, you do have to book beforehand because it's such a intimate cinema that you can't just walk in on the day. So put your booking in. I grew up in a socialist country, so I'm a child of socialism. And there's even some free tickets if you can't afford to pay for a ticket. So strongly encourage bookings. If you can chip in a little bit more, then that will help me make more films for you in the future.
Lovely, lovely.
Can I ask, Sarah, so all of these films sound really intriguing in their own ways. If I was to book, and I probably won't be able to book for all of them, do you have a favourite child?
I definitely have a favourite child.
That's a great question, Jackson.
I like Westermarck Effect. It's a very, like in terms of film craft, I think it's a well-made film and it's such an interesting story. It's controversial, but it's also funny and, yeah, come and
erotic?
See Westermarck Effect. Ooh, like yeah, a little bit.
I like a little bit.
Again, I like subtlety in everything I do, so not graphically, but yeah. The Lies We Tell Ourselves is also a really fun film to see. They're all for different reasons. Some people's favourite is Innuendo because it's like dark and twisted, so if you like that kind of thing. But yeah, just maybe watch the trailers and decide based on that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. All right. So we will now move to another track, and it's putting our next guest on the spot because I am going to play a track of theirs.
So this song is Reactor. It's my latest single. So this is Alex Go Slow is my musical name. But I just you were talking about the bookstore Hares and Hyenas.
Yes.
I went in there and bought a book called Reactor. And I read read bits of it, and some of it shot out at me, and there was this there was a scene that was set in Chernobyl, and there were the people that were in this nuclear power plant, and it was that envisioning that experience that they might have in that plant that they know has exploded, and so this song was written a little bit about that, but kind of also about just that knowing that you're gonna die, but like trying to make it sort of erotic and fun.
I'd have to say
kind
it does
like
have that
video clip. Like
it does have that gothic edge to it. Yes. Okay, so again, Alex, Go Slow and Reactor.
As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.
Reactor by Alex Go Slow.
Who is Alex Go Slow?
No, just some, I don't know, some Muppet.
Some weirdo. some weirdo queer.
So someone that likes to sample dot matrix printers.
Yeah, because they couldn't find their own.
Oh.
Oh, well, they actually, someone who took some samples from YouTube because they couldn't find their own dot matrix printer.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I love it.
I miss those, the stickers, like that paper scrolling.
Yes.
Where you, and there's a perforation on the side.
Yeah,
with all the dots.
Yeah.
I loved, like, finishing an essay and then just being able to peel that.
Yes. And you remember they won the versions that had blue and white ribbon stripes along it.
Yeah.
And so it would print on the blue and then print on the white. And I don't know why, but yeah, it used to help, I think, delineate, because it would go across, say, an A3 page and you had to read the text all the way along.
Yeah, wow.
So it'd have white and blue ribbon pattern on it so you could follow the lines.
I love 80s technology.
Yeah.
And then when it fails, it just prints out these kind of crazy things. Like this, it's like a code for madness.
Yes, indeed. Sounds like the 80s and computers. It was all madness. I tried to do things on BASIC and I just can never get it right. Remember BASIC?
I never used that one.
It was meant to be a simple computer coding program.
But nothing's ever simple though, is it?
Well, it wasn't. It wasn't.
I don't know. We're looking at something right now.
All it kept saying to me is syntax error.
It was like, not the syntax error.
Syntax error. So... But speaking of intentional syntax errors being inserted into the commonplace, we have a festival that's coming up.
It's a bit of a festival, yes. It's a night. It's based on the book Parable of the Sower by Octavia E. Butler.
Lovely.
So I was rereading some of this book a little while ago, and I realized that the protagonist. She's got a journal entries, and on the 7th of June 2025, she has a particular journal entry. So I'm not sure if the audience know about much about Octavia E. Butler's writing, but maybe I can give a little introduction.
Yeah, go for it.
So Octavia Butler, she won a whole lot of awards for science fiction, and this book, Parable of the Sower, was the first of a trilogy.
Mm.
She never actually got to finish the third book. So she's written the first and the second, and it's quite prophetic because she was writing it in the early 90s.
Yeah.
But now we're living in the time that she wrote it about. So these particular dates, I've been following them this year, and on the 7th of June is when she starts packing a go bag. So the story is a bit about how it's tough doing a summary of a story.
No, that's fine.
But so it's set in LA and things have gone a bit shit. There's this populist leader who appears very Trumpian.
Yeah, I was about to say, it all sounds so unlikely.
I know. And they even quote this Make America Great Again thing.
Oh, wow.
And
so
this young girl called Olamina, she's living in a walled-off village, a walled-off little community, a suburban community in LA, and she realizes that this is not going to last. There's a relative safety here, but it's not going to last. And on the 7th of June 2025, she writes about what she's going to pack in her go bag. So this is the bag that she in case she needs to just get up and go.
Yes.
What's she going to take?
Yeah.
So this sparked an interest in me, and I think other people have been telling me about what would you pack in your go bag. And I don't know what I would pack, but I do know that after reading this book, I wrote a song called Parable of the Sower. And that resonated with people, not because it was particularly well made. The song was really badly produced. and it was very early in my music sort of learning period. But it brought out, for me, I kind of talked about packing... Well, it seeds, a map, a gun. Although I wouldn't really pack a gun, it just seemed kind of like it would work for the song ammunition. Yeah. So
fitted the narrative
for the narrative exactly.
Yeah, lovely.
So, am I rambling?
No.
No, you're giving us great content.
So I've sort of talked about this to some friends, and there seemed to be an interest to have an event where we kind of use music and use our bands and make bands just specifically to kind of work through this idea of the parable of the sower and this post-apocalyptic world that was written about that we're living in, but we're not living in because it's different.
So now, a group of performers and others who are using that particular part of the narrative of this book as a focal point.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's so any part. So some people really resonate with this, with the seed collection and the sort of dirt and like the survival.
Yeah.
And other people kind of resonate a bit more with like what do we, how do we keep each other sane? How do we work as community? Do we, I kind of look at it as this is a way for me to get together with other musicians and create music.
Yes.
And that's what I feel like I would do in this post-apocalyptic world.
Yes.
Is to just connect with people.
Sure.
But I probably would need to connect with people who understand survival skills, like maps and seeds and things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, it'd have to be communal.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So we've got, so Level Crossing Removal Project, they're a band that have just released a single, which I think you might be able to play later.
I will be playing later. Yeah.
So they're actually spelled LXRP, and they're fabulous. I saw them at Gummo a few weeks ago.
Cafe Gummo.
Cafe, that's the one.
Hey.
And then there's a Supertart, who are a skanky girl punk band who are going to be performing.
Self-described.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I love it.
Then there's Stranger Tractor, and this is Pusha and Marty Yedema, who they're getting together and they're creating something especially for this night. So nice. I'm excited to see what they're going to do.
And what do they typically do?
They're both musical engineers. Like they know, they know stuff. They, yeah, they, wow. I can imagine it being doomy and electronical. I'm inventing words now.
Yeah, yeah, but it sounds like a soundscape art.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, very cool.
Instruments that I have no idea even like what they're called.
Yeah.
So, and then there's my band when we're performing for the first time.
Yeah, don't mention them. We don't care. No, please do. Please do mention.
We would really love to have music out, but like tomorrow, Monday, we're going to have our first single released.
Well, that means that next week, Queer in the Air, we'll play it.
So this band is called Zipper Repair Kit, did I say?
Yes.
I said that. Okay.
No, you didn't.
It's called Zipper Repair Kit.
What's it called?
Zipper Repair Kit. That's something such a great that name. You might want in your go bag.
Yes.
You never know when you need to repair a zipper.
Well, that's right. You don't want it all hanging out in the middle of the apocalypse.
You don't?
No. except for select moments. Select moments, yes, perhaps.
I select them all.
Well, apart from that, I think it is a good addition, yes.
And because we're queer, I've invited some queer speakers as well. And there's so Dr. Mayhem, which I know that you know.
I do know Dr. Mayhem.
Dr. Mayhem is going to be emceeing the night. And we've got a Udall York, who is someone who I met at the Queer Smut Writing event I spoke about earlier.
Mm.
She's coming all the way from Sydney,
Gadigal Land.
And she uses the medium of smut and erotica to explore deeper complexities. And I am so excited that she's coming because I met her. We had this pool in our retreat, and she would sit by the pool and just read her drafts. And it was just absolutely divinely confusing. I was left each time not like aroused and confused and just wondering how this mind came up with this stuff. So yeah. I'm really excited to see what she's writing something for this event as well.
Yeah. So a really fine collection, it sounds to me, of local talent, firstly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. Apart from the Sydney cider, we'll forgive that. We'll forgive having you know, what do they call them? The Queenslanders refer to them as cockroaches.
It's part of recruiting them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We take the good ones, don't
come,
we?
Come to Melbourne. Yeah, no, exactly.
I mean, it's true. You've got a Sydney cider on your team.
Who's that?
Oscar.
Okay, they're gone. Well, I was born and raised in Sydney. You can tell, can't you?
Oh.
Yeah, it's a nasty streak in me. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're gone from the show too.
Oh, well, wouldn't be the first person to suggest it. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it seems to me like a really lovely collection of local and other talent focused on a very specific idea. I think that's just so creative, Alex.
Post-apocalyptic doom.
Yeah, based on a specific novel.
Yes, but you don't have to have read the novel to come. I was a bit worried that maybe it would people wouldn't come because they don't know the story.
Right.
But a lot of people in my circles have been reading it. they've been reading Octavia E. Butler and going, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. So it is an amazing book, even if you can't come. And the second book of the series is called Parable of the first one's Parable of the Soul. The second one is, the name escapes me now.
Yeah.
Parable of the Talents. And that gets a bit queerer.
They say with an evil giggle, it gets queerer. So, Cult of the Earthseed, I'll get you to roll out the deets.
Oh, the deets. Thornbury Bowls Club, Saturday 7th of June. It's all going to start at 6 p.m.
And when will it end? Who knows? Will it ever end?
We will get kicked out at some point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
May I just read that sentence there? Because, like, I haven't read the book, but if I saw this, I would definitely come, and I'm definitely coming.
Please.
Punk, electro, folk, doom, post-apocalyptic rock, queer, eco-sexual ritual and spoken words. Come on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
How exciting.
Exactly.
That's just queer catnip, really, that description.
And that's just what Alex will be doing on a night.
Beautiful poster, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I had a comment about that.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
But I've lost the moment. Sorry, it had to do with the zipper.
just congratulations to both of you.
Mm.
Yeah. Thanks. Producing, you know, art as queer people. You know, with a degree in one form or another of queerness to stories, but not necessary to the work in terms of its value. I just think it's been a great show just talking through these events.
I really, really appreciate sort of what you were saying, Sarah, about your art not being queer but being inherently queer because of you being queer. And, like, the content that we create as queer creators not needing to be so expressly queer, but to just carry the essence of our queerness with
it. Yeah, I think we shouldn't put ourselves in the box in that way. I think just give yourself creative freedom to make any art, any kind of art.
Yes.
Tell any stories.
Yeah. I mean, we've been locked in boxes long enough as queer people.
Exactly. Don't do it to yourself.
100%. Yeah.
Yes. So, what have we learned today? And this is our latest segment. I'm just going to just do a live jingle for it. What did we learn today?
Boo-doo.
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 And scene. What did we learn today?
Madison's just staring me directly in the eyes like, what did you learn, Atlas?
What did you learn, Atlas? Come on.
I learned about four incredible films that I'm very keen to see. I learned about some songs that I'm really keen to hear about. And I got to really enjoy just getting to know both of you and your art and who you are as people. It's been a really wonderful afternoon.
Yeah, same.
Thanks, Atlas.
I've learned that, you know, even though it is really tough out there to be queer, you know, let's face it, there's all sorts of challenges out there, but nonetheless, you can, if one is has the right, you know, tools and the right circumstances, both, you know, write or plan and produce and broadcast and artistic content, and then even organize one's own events to promote them. And I think that's a relatively new development in all of this. I think that, you know, in the past, a lot of queer events have been held by rather charitable allies of the queer, you know, community who happen to own a venue, right? And then they kind of run a show, and half the time they kind of end up being the impenetrable protector of the show. But what seems to be happening, I think, more and more is that the curation, from curation down to creative output across the whole spectrum of what makes an event, it's queer people all the way up and all the way down.
As it should be.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
We just need to green light ourselves. There's this term, I don't know if other arts use it, but in film industry, they definitely talk about green lighting projects. And and that means waiting for someone else to tell you it's okay to do that project by giving you money or giving you permissions in that way. But no, don't wait for it. Green light yourself. Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when it comes to like running these community events events and doing it, just get onto your local like community representative organizer. So for me, I would get onto Transgender Victoria if I wanted to run an event. I know that there are other queer orgs out there that will also fund your projects or at least just give you the space to work on them.
Yeah. Let's start getting out there and taking it over. Mm-hmm. I think the opportunity is there.
Mm. I've learned what I'm doing on Saturday, 7th of June. I'm going to Cult of Earthseed. This is amazing.
Mm. Queer eco-sexual ritual.
Yes, yes. Now, this has been Queering the Air, broadcast on 3CR Radical Radio on 855 on your AM radio dial and digitally streamed on 3cr.org.au/streaming. Next up is the Salaam Radio Show, and we will sign off with LXRP, one of the performers of the Cult of the Earthseed Night, and their track, Artifacting. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.